Mas as duas.
If you know, you know. So as you can tell, we are back from our hiatus, and it's because Boo Boo brought us here. So before Boo Boo, your man.
Okay. Your uncle.
But before we go into anything, I'm your host, Matilda.
And it's your host, Hadiza.
And you're listening to the Afrocalypso podcast. So we're not going to do the intro because this is meant to be a very, very quick episode, a mini-sode, because Boo Boo has dragged us out of our hiatus again. And because we're going to be gone till August, we didn't feel like it made sense to keep quiet in all of these things happening. So we're here to basically keep track of what's been going on with the Twitter ban and also try to educate people that don't understand what's going on, especially our non-Nigerian listeners who might not understand why we are shouting and everything, and start the conversation about what we can do about it or if there's even anything we can do about it. But yeah. Oh yeah, Imama is missing in action right now, but because she was busy, again, this was not planned at all, but yeah.
Uncle Boo will just be disturbing people. People will just be resting, trying to go about their day normally. Uncle Boo will say, I'm angry, therefore everybody needs to die today. That's literally his energy. That's how he's been moving.
Can't lie, yeah. So, okay, on June 4th, Buhari suspended Twitter from Nigeria indefinitely. Like, my guy just woke up in the morning and said Twitter was suspended. No protocols, nothing.
He didn't really wake up in the morning and say, so Twitter did something to him. He was provoked now.
Yeah, but in a working country, you wouldn't just wake up from sleep and declare that it's suspended. It's a dictatorship.
I guess Nigeria is not a working country.
It's not. So what had happened is he had tweeted on June 1st and his tweet basically violated Twitter's policies. He was basically threatening Nigerians, you know, so they took down his tweet. Hadiza, do you want to read the tweet?
Mm-hmm. So Uncle Boo Boo said, many of those misbehaving today are too young to be aware of the destruction and loss of lives that occurred during the Biafra war. And then he also said, those of us in the fields for 30 months who went through the war will treat them in the language that they understand. For me, that's the end. Quote and unquote, that's the end of the quote.
This is where Buhari stops and Hadiza starts.
No, it has to be a clear demarcation. Yeah. Because he said, those of us in the field for 30 months. So just a short background. The Biafra war happened, I don't know what year, but it's a war that happened in Nigeria's history where essentially Nigerian government decided to kind of kill Igbos for wanting to separate from Nigeria. That's basically what happened. And Buhari, that is president now, was a leader back then, you know, or a part of the government at that point in time.
He was in the army, yeah.
He was in the army. There you go.
So he was pretty much an oppressor, and here he is again, an oppressor, talking
still
insensitively.
People.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to delve too much into the Biafran war. We promise, and we've been promising this since we literally started this podcast, but once we're back with our full episodes, we're going to do a full episode on the Biafran war. It happened in 1967 and it lasted till 1970. So May 30th was the 54th anniversary of the day that Biafra was declared, basically. They didn't want to be a part of Nigeria anymore, so they declared their own republic, pretty much. In conjunction to that, there's been a lot of insecurity in the southeast, mainly because there's this group, it's called IPOB. It's the indigenous people of Biafra, and they're pretty much people that are still clamoring for secession, right? They still want to be their own people. But then there's this guy, Nnamdi Kanu, right? He's their leader. But then some people say that it's not all Biafran people that agree with what Nnamdi Kanu is doing, because at least from my perspective, it looks like he believes in violence. In fact, on May 30th, he actually ordered everyone in the East to do a sit at home. And pretty much if you left your house, they threatened that they would kill you. And it was just this shouldn't we want to do this? Like, it shouldn't be a threat to your own people, to your own Biafran people. It should be a thing of choice.
I mean, it's if you want to be the leader of a new nation and that's kind of how you want to start off, like, just being very violent, essentially.
Yeah. But again, this should not be mistaken for us talking even anything about whether Biafra should be or shouldn't be. We're just laying down what has happened. There have been attacks on government institutions like police stations and INEC offices, and for context, INEC is the Independent National Electoral Commission. It's happened in Anambra, Ebonyi, Imo, Abia, those southeastern states, basically. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of loss of property, loss of even lives of people there. Like, I guess,
yeah.
I'm not going to go too much into like into what it is, right? Mm-hmm. But the people doing it haven't actually been identified. But the reason that the government, I guess, and most people are tying it back to IPOB is because Nnamdi Kanu pretty much said, unless there are discussions about Biafra seceding and there's like a referendum pretty much done,
continue to wreak havoc or like kind of like
not even that. He literally said the 2023 election is not going to happen, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Unless there's like a referendum to vote whether Biafra is going to leave or not. So, I mean, INEC is the electoral commission in Nigeria. So if the buildings are being burnt down, it just made sense. It's the line that people are drawing pretty much.
Yeah, like it connects. Like you have someone saying certain things and then you see the results of his words, essentially. So it makes sense that they would connect it to IPOB, specifically Nnamdi.
Yeah. Now, in the Nigerian fashion of things, rather than have dialogue, because again, let's keep in context that Nigeria has never fully addressed what happened in our civil war. Nigeria has never fully acknowledged all the wrongs, all the war crimes that happened during the Biafran War. And we just expect things to just move forward. We haven't addressed anything. We haven't done anything about it. No reparations have been given. The Igbo people are still feeling like they are being disserviced in Nigeria. But Nigeria, specifically Buhari and his people, decide to handle this by deploying the armed forces to the east. And they're now killing people under the assumption that they are a part of the Eastern Security Network, which is pretty much the IPOB soldiers. And they're just killing young men under the assumption that they are part of that. It's like, how is this even the solution to any of this? Like, it's a government that doesn't even want to dialogue with its people. And everyone has been saying this, especially in the last couple of years, that Nigeria can never move forward without addressing what happened in Biafra. And also, you have all these, like, the Fulani herdsmen issue, Boko Haram issue, that it happens on a daily in Nigeria. Every week, our lives are being lost. The insecurity situation is increasing. And Buhari would never, ever come out and talk about it. But then when this happens, he decides to address it in this way, where basically genocide happened in the Biafra War. He says we would treat them in a language that they understand. It just doesn't make any sense. It's insensitive. It just makes them feel further marginalized, and it just is stupid. So he posted that it went against the Twitter rules because Twitter specifically talks about how it will not tolerate anything related to genocide. I mean, it's just the rules. Like, literally read the social media rules before you tweet things or write things on it, right? So that's where we are. So they got angry. There were reports that he was angry and he wanted to deal with Facebook and Twitter. Because, Facebook also took it down as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just feel like they're just repeating, like you said, you're not learning from history. So they're just repeating the exact same thing that is happening or happened in the past and so on.
Yeah.
And it's only just going to push Nnamdi. I just hope it's not a repeat of history, but it feels like it, especially with him now shutting down Nigerians' access to Twitter and Facebook without consultation.
Or just Twitter, and though. I think they told him not to do Facebook.
Sorry, not Facebook. his partner said, we're still using it, so...
Yeah, I feel like I actually, in a very weird way, I wanted them to shut down Facebook too. Because there's much more Nigerians on Facebook than Twitter. And I feel like more people would have felt it. Even though, I mean, Twitter is already, it's already a violation of rights at this point. But like, I just felt like it would have triggered more of a reaction because I feel like it's getting a reaction, but it would have been more felt.
Yeah.
But I feel like they had like a personal vendetta to, against Twitter because if you remember, NSARS, Twitter was like one of the major platforms that helped us pretty much come together and organize. So I feel like they have like more of a personal vendetta. They feel like Jack has an agenda or something like that. But it's so crazy because it was actually Nigerians that literally kept tweeting at Jack, tweeting at like the official Twitter account, reporting the tweet, literally saying like, they need to take this down, take this down. down. So it's actually your people that wanted this to be taken down. It wasn't a thing that Twitter just saw
and had an
agenda.
They're it had an agenda. Yeah, I think it's interesting because let me play devil's advocate.
There's no Buhari. There's no. Anyways,
Buhari's like the crazy thing is I don't get why he's angry because even Trump they removed his post before. Like as in Buhari is not the first.
There were actually reports of Trump saying he commends Nigeria on this that he should have done it when he was in office, and I'm like, shut up. In a working I put in quotes country like America, because the thing is America has not so smart people like Donald Trump, for example, but their institutions are strong, and that's why a Donald Trump does not have the power to just wake up one morning and decide to suspend Twitter.
It will never happen in
America. Never.
Oh my god, the streets will turn red. Like people will set fire to stuff, bro. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna work. I think Nigerians were afraid of the power of Twitter, right? Because with Twitter being down, quote unquote, they can now they feel like, because Twitter was really the only thing that it felt like the only thing that was really like kind of connecting what's happening on ground in Nigeria in real time with like the rest of the world, and allowing the rest of the world to have a say on what's happening in Nigeria in real time and stuff like that. You know, if it's with other platforms, I feel like news wouldn't spread as quickly. So yeah, it's just, you know, this is the first step to control, and I feel like because they were able to
first step oh my god, this is not the first step. They've already done so much.
But this is the first major step now, because they're literally blocking do you know what it means to block an app? For a country to block a whole app or
for context, the only other countries that have Twitter banned right now are China, Iran, North Korea, and Turkmenistan. And I'm just like, how is Nigeria joining the ranks of China and North Korea? Like, but even if we're going to talk about laws, for example, because a lot of people are like, this is unconstitutional, which it is, but like Nigeria is technically a dictatorship, like we're in autocratic rule at this point. But let's just humor our 1999 constitution right now. So in section 39(1) of the constitution of Nigeria, it says every person shall be entitled to freedom of expression, including freedom to opinions and to receive and impart ideas and information without interference. We also have Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which says pretty much the same thing, and Article 9 of the African Charter of Human and People's Rights, which also talks about freedom of press and expression. Buhari said, fuck that. Buhari said, this is my country, apparently. And here we are. So then people now, I think Jack's people, who is our uncle now, by the way, he's adopted. We have accepted him. The CEO of Twitter. Yeah, so Twitter's public policy account had tweeted that they are deeply concerned about the blocking of Twitter in Nigeria. Access to the free and open internet is an essential human right. And they basically said they're trying to restore access for Nigerians. And then they started this hashtag, Keep It On. So pretty much a lot of people have been tweeting with the hashtag Keep It On. Similar to like hashtag NSARS. And people downloaded VPNs because I think it was the day after they announced it that they basically talked to all the network providers and were able to block it. But then if you get a VPN and there's free VPNs, and we're going to, on our social media, we're going to share
names.
Yeah. Things that you can use, and people are using it. Although I've heard people reporting that one, it maybe it takes more data or it kills their battery or something like that. But you know what? It's like, this is one of the things we're doing to try to go around this. For context, VPNs are virtual private networks, and they allow you to create a secure connection to another network over the internet, meaning pretty much you can browse the internet as someone that's not in Nigeria. So people have been doing that anyways. Yeah, Hadiza, you were saying...
Oh, yeah. Like, now they would use it as a reason to stop, like, especially young people in Nigeria. It's just, like, an added reason. Like, okay, so in Nigeria right now, right, they just stop young people for random stuff like how your hair looks or what kind of car you're driving. Or let's say they're just having a bad day, the police, and they're just like, yeah, I'm stopping you today and we're going to harass you. So I feel like this just adds an extra layer of, like, invasion of privacy unnecessarily, because I feel like they're going to start taking people's phones and going through them and like just doing random stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, it just, I feel like the country is just going to be more unsafe. Not like it was safe to begin with.
Just more so.
More unsafe for, like, especially young people. And it's crazy because it's young people you want to, like, protect, right? Because they're the ones that are keeping the country or going to keep the country going and stuff. Anyways, I like to say y'all should start moving out.
Estee, anybody that is Nigerian now, if you can, honestly, Jackpa, because I know, like, we care about Nigeria. And I've been thinking about this all through this. The thing is, if Nigeria goes into war, God forbid, because war is nasty. And I think that's what none of us are understanding. And even shameful, more shameful to Buhari than because they have lived through a war. I guess they were the oppressors, so maybe it didn't affect them as much. But, like, honestly, war is disgusting. And even Ojukwu, who was the leader of the Biafran Republic back then, after the war, he said it's not that he's not proud to have led that war, but he feels like it should never happen again. And here we are again, 54 some years later, and we're here again. It just makes no sense. It's like they haven't taught anyone history. They haven't addressed history, etc., etc. But anyways, going back to what's happening now, as of Saturday, June 5th, the Office of Nigeria's Attorney General and Ministry of Justice said that it would arrest and prosecute anyone who tried to get around the block, pretty much people that are browsing with the VPN and everything, that they can now prosecute people, basically, like, jail them. But this is unconstitutional. Again, let's humor them with the Constitution of Nigeria, which obviously is not a thing anymore. With Section 36(8) states that no person shall be held to be guilty of a criminal offense on account of any act or omission that did not, at the time it took place, constitute such an offense. And no penalty shall be imposed for any criminal offense heavier than the penalty in force at the time of the offense was committed. So pretty much there's no law in place right now actually stating that we can't use Twitter because he did not go through the right processes, even if he was going to suspend Twitter. So also, according to the Constitution, you cannot criminalize people for a law that does not exist. But again, we're in a dictatorship. Which brings me to say, you guys, I feel like VPNs are nice. And again, we're not in Nigeria, so we can have strong opinions, but ultimately we're not there. So I don't even know how to address this. Hadiza, help.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, I just feel like it's like an added extra level of stress. Like, there's no reason why people, okay, so now Nigerians generally struggle to provide basic necessities like light, water, good schools. Now the communication is now being blocked, so you have to go the extra mile to get a VPN to feel like you can communicate like the rest of the world. You'll now be tweeting from Germany or something. Like,
the thing is that I understand that we're getting VPNs and everything, and that's why I was going, like, what I'm about to say is easy to say because I'm out of Nigeria, but the truth is that the VPN thing is not the solution to this problem, because we're dealing with a dictator now, right? So today it's Twitter, tomorrow it's something else, right?
Oh, okay. So you're saying...
So we shouldn't
fight, like, instead of people, like,
finding ways around it. And which is what I feel like is happening. Even though, of course, people are tweeting, keep it on, which is, like, showing them, like, literally everybody is still tweeting in Nigeria, so I don't really know what they are saying. Because they were even trying to... And they said they had met with China's cyber regulator to build a Nigerian internet firewall. And I think, like, today or yesterday, they were denying, basically, that ever happened. And someone was like, is it because you can't afford it? Because yeah. I read somewhere that it costs China something billion dollars to maintain
I was about to say, like, I was just about to say, I don't get it. Nigerian government can't provide basic amenities, but they want to purchase a firewall for the whole country. Like, nah, like, that there's something wrong if that's the case. But I'm happy to hear that's not the case.
But literally, people are dying. Like, why is this even a priority for you? Buhari has barely address the press. Barely. Like, so many things have happened this year. In fact, like, I think, is it the chief of his army or someone that had died in the helicopter crash, or was it a plane crash? Like, an aircraft crash, and like a bunch of army officials. He still didn't come out to talk about anything. Each day, the Fulani herdsmen are harassing people, killing people, causing general insecurity. People are being kidnapped. He hasn't said anything, and it's this Twitter ban that he wants to pay attention to. It just feels like it's a child that is running the country, and it's very, very upsetting.
It's very upsetting, and it's sad because my guy is in his, like, 80s, right?
Yo, I haven't actually wanted someone to die as much as... I don't know. Finish the sentence for me. I didn't say anything, though.
What sentence? I don't know what you were saying. who did you want to die so bad? Who?
I don't know. Okay. Don't ask me. I don't know.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but you want everyone to live.
But even...
And die at their time.
Hopefully their time is...
No, no.
He has lived a long, full life.
Who is he?
I don't know why you're asking me. But it's more so annoying is that I think they started making this an APC versus PDP thing, because I think there was like a National Assembly sittings session, whatever. And I think one of the PDP candidates had talked about this whole Twitter ban thing, and like the head of the house, the speaker of the house, basically like shut him off or something like that. And then they did like a walkout. And while I was like, I know at the end of the day, this is kind of what we are gunning for as well. I just feel that if the ruler here was a PDP member, if Buhari was PDP, the PDP members will be doing the exact same thing. Do you get what I mean? Like, PDP and APC are the same. Maybe not exactly the same, because I don't know. Because in Goodluck Jonathan's time, at least they were still in, but they were still following the constitution to our knowledge, to the best of their abilities. But what I'm saying pretty much is I hope no one is taking out of this that PDP is the better party, because come 2023, if there is an election, if Nigeria still exists, if Buhari has not completely gotten rid of the constitution, we shouldn't now say PDP is the way forward, because they will come with their own wahala. So I don't know. Again, I'm not in Nigeria, but I'm a Nigerian. And the truth is, we're here in Canada, but Canada isn't really mine.
Yeah,
I still want a Nigeria to go back to. I still want a country to go back to. And if this country doesn't exist, like, it's kind of like, and I'm not trying to say, like, it's kind of like, I think it's a bad comparison because, again, I don't fully understand. But it's a lot of Palestinians saying that they can't even go back to their own country. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it would be very sad to see such a preventable thing happen and, like, us going to war, because I feel like we need to take it a little bit more serious than we are. But I commend people that are still speaking up. They're even talking about June 12th protests.
Oh yeah, just to follow the hashtag and bring it out in the streets.
Yeah, June 12th also is Democracy Day, the day that we celebrate democracy, which is we're not really in anymore. But I listened to this podcast where the guy was also saying no one should go out because these people just want to see blood. I mean,
who is these people? You mean the Nigerian government?
We saw what happened October last year.
So he said no one should go out to protest so no one dies, essentially, right?
I think that's what he was saying, because I'm kind of torn, because I want to see a protest happen. Like, we can't just sit down and take this, because it's so funny. I find it funny that during NSARS, we were yabbing our parents' generation because we're like, no, we're the generation here to make a change. But remember, their generation has also been through many October 20th. Like, they've seen people killed by the government. They've lived through the military rule. So now that us two, we've also seen stuff like that, we're also getting fatigued about fighting back and stuff like that. So I don't even know. I'm torn in between, because I don't want to see anyone die. But then I also feel like if we sit back down,
you're just going to do more and more and more.
Those people died in vain.
Yeah.
Do you get, like, I just feel like,
yeah,
I also listened to another podcast where the girl was talking about hope and how we still need to keep hope, because if there's no hope, like, there's actually no, like, there's nothing that we can do.
I don't know. It's weird because I wonder if the protests, because honestly, what was really helping Nigeria is the international eye to stuff.
But they don't care anymore. And you can't pretty much, because many countries have.
I'm starting to wonder, do protests really help things in Nigeria? That's my question. Because, with NSARS, the international audience, I feel, is what really, like, it's not like things really changed per se, but, you know, like, there was this, like, you know, the Nigerian government felt like they were being watched, and that is, like, you know, a good thing, because it's like, you are being watched, so you do the right thing. Like, that's the logic, I guess. But, like, if the international body doesn't care anymore, and the point of blocking Twitter is to block international interference, so, like, I'm wondering, how will protests really change things in Nigeria for Nigerians, like, change the government's view?
I don't know. Like, I don't idea. Know. I really don't know. In fact, though, I saw a tweet. Someone said that, I know we think of protests like going out on the streets and stuff like that, but that's not the only way you can protest. You can put up banners and billboards and stuff overnight. We can do sit-ins, stay-at-homes. We can do mass walkouts on a working day. We can put on mock funerals, basically, where, like, the country wakes up to a ton of coffins on, like, major roads. We can do teaching with, like, community, like, awareness,
ways to protest,
mass paintings done overnight, commercial boycotts, social boycotts, newspaper journals, radio takeovers, etc. Just stuff like that. I think there's obviously other ways that we can do things,
can
but
protest.
I think the protest where people come out and, like, you know, chant stuff, it's one of the ways too. So it's like,
So I think we as Nigerians need to discuss, like, other ways to protest, because I feel like the way we've protested so far is actually creating more harm for us than it is good. I mean, without international interference, let's say international people don't care anymore. Right?
But you know what's funny? In a way, international people have never actually cared. Like, they obviously want to look like they care. Like, for example, the UN is just is a joke. Like, and we've seen it multiple times.
But then what I think it does is it demands a response from the government, right? The government now has to respond to an international body, whereas if it's, like, just happening within Nigeria, they're like, well, I mean, we can choose to ignore this, we can choose to send our troops to these people. Like, do you get, like, there's no accountability, like, as in, it's kind of like locking a child up with an abusive parent versus, like, having the neighbors, like, peeking from time to time. I don't know how to explain it.
I guess that's why people are still hashtagging, like, keep it on. Like, we still need to make sure that at least we have freedom to communicate, to get this information out to the public and stuff like that. But to say that anyone has, like, the right answers, I don't know. I don't think so. I think we just have to keep trying different things until it works. But, like, obviously, like, yes, we also need to look into other ways of protesting. I agree with you. But then the question is, how do you get everybody on the same page? You know?
I guess this should be a Twitter discussion. Other ways to protest in Nigeria.
Yeah. But also, another reason that we put this out is to basically say that we're asking, because there haven't been any protests, June 12 protests planned in Canada. Reach out to us if there's any interest, like, if you're in Ottawa or anywhere else and, like, you're looking to protest in any way, like, to just stand in solidarity of people in Nigeria. Because, again, for me anyways, Nigeria is still my country. My passport is still green. I still care about the place. It's feeling mad hopeless right now, but I feel like I just want to do something rather than nothing. Let us know. Also, at the end of this month, I think it's June 28th, INEC is opening registrations for your PVC. Please, please, if there's an election happening, in Jesus' name, amen, we need all hands on deck to do something, to just be the change we need to see. We can't tell you how to vote. We don't even really know who the correct candidate is right now, but it's so important that you get your voter's card. So, yeah, keep an eye out. INEC has said, anyways, that they're opening it at the end of the month. So please register. if you're out of the country, they haven't said anything yet about that. But if you're going home in the next 2 years or something, you can also get it while you're back. Just try. We can just try. And don't lose hope. That's all. That's all. Don't lose hope. I think we've all said Nigeria is a failed state. Yes. But then I don't want to see us go further into the spoils.
Failure.
Into war. War is what I fear the most for Nigeria. But yeah. Yeah, that's it from us this week. Hadiza, anything?
I just want to say, Nigerians in Nigeria, try and stay safe.
Yes.
As much as you can. I hear, aside the, of course, the Twitter ban and stuff, I hear there are also a lot of other things that are happening in Nigeria.
Bro.
So just try and stay as safe as you can. Yeah, that's all I can say.
Yeah. Stay safe, guys. We'll be back again if Nigeria moves crazy again, or you'll see us in August. But yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye.